Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Kasdia, and welcome to 2019, the year of intention. What is your intention for 2019? What are you going to do to make it better for yourself? Better year this year than last year? And I have five questions to ask yourself if you really want to transform your life. First, grab paper and a pen. Write these down. What do I really want just for myself? Just for yourself, what do you really want? What has to happen in order to create change? What steps of inspired action am I willing to take? How much pain will I experience if I don't change? How can I be of service? How can I be of service, you know, is the grounding of everything that I do. You know how I feel about that. I also say that we have to do a little bit something for ourselves, and answering these five questions could be that something you do for yourself. And with that, we have our very, very dear friend, Gary Joseph, who inspires me and all of you from beyond the spirits. And he is well known for the saying, discovering your path of mind, body, and soul through a spiritual connection. Welcome.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
Happy
really
New
good.
Year.
Happy New Year to you. So I have a little surprise for you.
Okay.
Okay. A friend of mine, a new friend of mine, is actually on the phone. He is an author of a best-selling, top-selling book called The Shack. His name is William Paul Young. We all call him Paul. And he's on the line right now. So everybody would like to welcome Paul Young. Hey, Paul.
Hey, honored to be with you. Thank you so much.
Love having you. And this is our good friend, Gary.
Well, hello, Paul. I'm shocked.
that's pretty good for a psychic.
That is very good for a psychic. You could rarely surprise a psychic, that's for sure.
If you could only see his face, it was awesome. It's just absolutely awesome. So I thought, I had this like little idea, and actually Marco helped me do this. I had the thought that it would be great for us all to be talking, because we all have that same direction of our intentions, what we really want to do, and transforming our lives. So I'd really like to start with you, Paul, because a lot of our listeners have read your book, but also for those who haven't, can you give a little synopsis of your life? How did you get into writing, and help us along the way? And Gary, if you have any questions, just jump right in.
I'm going to listen.
So writing is something that I always did. And when I was young, there was a lot of heartbreak in my world, and writing became a way to get the inside world out. I learned to write by reading, and I grew up in a primitive Stone Age culture. I'm a missionary kid and preacher's kid, and we were out in the highlands of New Guinea. So I didn't have access to anything technology-wise, but I did to books. And so that's where I learned to write. But I never intended to be a published author. That wasn't on my bucket list or on my dreamscape or anything else. Writing first was for me, and then over the years it became a way to give gifts to friends or family or people I love. And so I'd write poetry or songs or short stories. And Kim, the woman to whom I've been married for almost 40 years, she said for about 4 years, you know, someday as a gift for our kids, would you please write something that puts in one place how you think, because you think outside the box.
Brilliant.
And I didn't feel healthy enough to do that until the year I turned 50. And I was working three jobs, but one of them required a 40-minute train ride each way. And I thought, you know, I've got nothing to give the kids for Christmas, but I finally feel like I'm a healthy human being, and I could do this. So I wrote The Shack on the train, mostly on the train to one of those three jobs. And when I got it done Christmas, I went down to Office Depot and printed 15 copies on their photocopier, put a little plastic cover on it, a little spiral thing on the side, And 6 went to our kids, because we have 6 kids. And then Kim got a copy, and I kept one, and the extras I gave to my friends.
Nice.
And I went back to work. Those 15 copies did everything I ever wanted that book to do. And then my friends, you know, they took my kids a while. He's like, thanks, Dad, a book. Yeah. But my friends started giving it to their friends, and we had to pool our resources and print 15 more copies for their friends. And then that started a whole chain reaction. The book ended up in the hands of some guys in California who immediately wanted to make it into a movie. And I'm going like, for real? What, are you serious? But that started the conversation about putting it into print. 26 publishers turned it down. Half of them were faith-based publishers who thought it was too edgy and didn't know what genre it was. And the other half were secular publishers who thought it had too much Jesus and didn't know what genre it was. So I said, how hard is it to publish a book? So two of the guys who wanted to turn it into a movie created a publishing house. We found a local printer, and we ordered 10,000 copies, which we were told that 8,000 in your garage after 2 years when you run out of friends and family. In the first 13 months, with less than $300 in marketing and advertising from that garage, two storage units and the local printer in L.A., we spent less than $300 and shipped over almost 1.1 million copies.
Brilliant. So, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. That's thinking out of the box.
Such a God thing.
Yeah. Thinking out of the box.
Nobody saw it coming.
And category out of the box. So you were out of the box across the board on that one, huh?
I've always been a little bit of an outlier anyway. It's not that I haven't tried to fit in. I just haven't been able to. And it was a struggle for a lot of my life trying to find a place to belong. But I'm pretty convinced that if you don't find someone to belong to, you're never going to really feel like you belong anywhere.
I like that. I like that a lot. And that goes to one of the things I say a lot here on Healthy Lifestyle, which is you have to be you, the best you, because everybody else is taken. So you have to be you, and you being you and genuine allows you to fit in if you allow that to happen. So I just want to step back for a second and ask you something. You said something that kind of resonated with me, and I kind of wanted a little more explanation. You said you weren't prepared or ready to write because you didn't feel healthy, and then you did. What does that mean, feeling healthy, to you?
The year I turned 50, which is the year that I wrote The Shack on the train, that year was kind of it was one of those points where something changes. You've moved out of the in-between space into something that feels like substance and solid.
Gotcha.
So Mackenzie's weekend in The Shack represents an 11-year deconstruction rebuilding process. The big work, and I use The Shack as a metaphor for the inside house that people help you build. And some of us, we didn't get good help, so it becomes a shack. It becomes a place that's uninhabitable for the most part. And we don't want anybody to ever come in there, because that's where we store all of our addictions and our secrets and hide everything. So we build a facade and we try to, like you said, you know, be someone else or whatever we think those people want us to be. And so my 11 years of deconstruction and rebuilding turned a corner. And the year I turned 50, as that year began, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm like, I have no secrets. I have no addiction.
Yeah.
And I'm the same person in every situation. Like, I didn't even know that was possible. And that's what, so integration, being content, we had materialistically, we had pretty much nothing, but, we had gone through a season in which we had learned that the opposite of more is enough. And we'd been surrounded by enough our whole lives, but didn't know it because we never stayed inside that awareness. We'd always been thinking like only if we had more, then we'd be content.
You moved into the now. You were in the present as opposed to looking into the future, trying to get more. You were actually experiencing the present.
Yeah, and that's one of my lines, too, that came out of all that, is that I learned how to live inside the grace of one day, only one day, and stopped being a future tripper. That's a phrase that I've used over the years as far as, you know, that rather than stay in the present, we tend, because we have so many fears in our lives, you either have control or trust. Those are the two options. And one of the ways that we try to get control is to future trip. That is, we create imaginations that don't actually exist, but we try to spend today's grace that does exist on things that don't.
Yeah.
And it's a control issue.
Oh, yeah.
A movement away from trust. So, yeah. And that's exactly what had happened. Over those 11 years, I had learned how to stay inside one day's grace. And I still do that. That's the place where children live. And it took me 50 years to become a child.
So. That's beautiful. Gary, you say a very similar thing I've heard you say. You say it a little different, though.
Yeah. I actually... Paul, what I usually go by is exactly what you're just saying in maybe a slightly different way, but what I really go by is that I live in the moment of the day. So every day I get up and I always thank God for the day that I was given. I was given a great opportunity and I just say, you know, take me to where you need me to be. And I just let my day go. And wherever it takes me, it takes me. And I appreciate it. And then when I go to bed at night, I usually tell God, thank you so much for this wonderful day, and I'm very grateful, and if it be your will, I'll have another one tomorrow, and if not, I'll see you. And for the most part, there's days I do go to sleep, because listening to what you were saying before, where we have our own shack, you know, there's days I do go to sleep, and I lay down, and I go, okay, God, this would not be the day to take me. Don't want to meet you on these terms.
And the sense is that God says, hey, I'll meet you on any terms. I don't care.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Always does.
You that I care for.
Yeah. Beautiful. Always does.
In reality, we just need to be ourselves and just be, experience the present, be here. Don't worry about the next minute. And I was speaking to a Navy SEAL, and that's how they get through all the stuff that they go through. Because I asked him, I was like, how do you do that? How do you, because he was facing a lot of pain and, oh gosh, he was beaten and he was virtually almost drowned. He was, you know, at the hands of other people. And he goes minute by minute, breath by breath. And that's really, really the now. Not the now I'd like to face. I appreciate what he does. I don't know if I would be able to survive it. But I love the story. You just moved me like no end, Paul. Inspired me as well as Gary does to just take everything a day at a time. And life doesn't have to be difficult if you're just who you are. Would you agree with that?
I would. I think life is difficult often. You know, Jesus had this line that to daily pick up your cross. And I come from a modern evangelical background, so we used to think that it was God who made those crosses. But I've come to find out that God has never made a cross in existence. It's people that make crosses for
right.
others.
Right.
And so there are crosses that we have to bear, you know, whether they are... a child who has a disability, or a child who is lost in a in their own in hurt places, or what other people say, or a job situation, or a marriage situation, or you know, life is full of challenges like that. So it's not about that they disappear. It's how to be fully human and fully alive in the midst of all of that. And the only way that I know how that has worked and makes any sense is to stay inside the one day's grace. And you know, the journey to be yourself is a journey by itself. And the ability to stay inside a day's grace means that you've answered a lot of the questions or responded to the lies that we've grown up with. That now allow us to stay in a place of trust rather than in a place of control. And so I think that life is going to bring plenty of challenges. Just don't imagine them. You know, deal with what's actually in front of you.
Handed to you, yeah.
Imagination.
Right. Because we cause some of our own grief.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
And And we do it because we think we're better off alone. You know, we don't know how to deal with community. We don't know how to open up our lives to others. But we live pushed by fear or shame. And that's usually what underlies the creation of imaginations that don't exist, that are fear-based. Like, it's like, well, I'm going to have this conversation with that person. They're going to say this, then I'm going to say this, yeah. then I'm going to get mad, and yes. they're going to get mad, and yep. we're never going to talk again. So why even talk to them now?
Right. So I'm going to avoid
it. And yeah. So what I've done is created an imagination that actually doesn't exist. And I've left the present to go somewhere that doesn't exist. And it's ended up in a place of control. And rather than respond to what's actually real and in front of me. God is not in those imaginations, because God doesn't live in anything that's not real.
True. And I find that when we kind of conjure those conversations up in our mind, we make it far worse than it actually is if you just experience it and learn the lesson we're supposed to learn, right? We're spirits here to learn, aren't we?
Yeah. And, you know, I've been to my own funeral a bunch of times. You know, and I was the only one who cried. Really pissed me off. you know, and it's like, that's not even real. It doesn't even exist. And yet so many of these challenging emotions were a part of something that didn't even exist. And it's like, no. Children, they know how to stay inside the day's grace. They're not concerned with all the things that happen in the future. And that's Jesus' words, right?
Yep.
Take no thought for tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow's got enough issues of its own. Look at the birds. They're not freaking out, you know? Mm-hmm. But I found that joy is a constant companion when you stay in the present.
Yes. Say that again.
So joy is a constant companion when you stay in the present.
Yes.
Joy is always a constant companion. It's never joy that leaves. It's we that leave by running into imaginations that don't exist. And so we're not present to joy. And joy is always present to us.
Now, I find, and thank you for that. That's just inspirational. And I find, too, that we're also on, all of us here are in the position and place where we feel firmly that we're all here to serve one another. So, Gary, I'd love you to speak on your angle on that. And I don't mean angle, but how you serve. And Paul, I'd love you to speak on that as well, because, you know, just through your writing, you serve millions of people.
Well, I could definitely tell you, like I said, I get up every day and my faith is the strongest. You know, that's what drives me every day. However, there are things that I do know that when I do get up, I know that I will be challenged with certain parts of my day. I don't look for those challenges. I think they just automatically happen. And the funny part is that when I do get through at the end of my day, I actually look and I don't even realize that they were challenges. They were actually welcome, believe it or not. And then there's these moments in our lives that we sit back and we look and we go, you know, why are all these things happening to me, and so on and so forth. And we put ourselves in that spot at that moment. I cannot tell you how many people that I speak to that will say, why did God do this to me? Where is God? And my actual answer to that is, God never left you and God didn't do this to you. So you need to reflect back on how you got here and take ownership. And in somewhere along those lines, there is a lesson to be learned in a positive way. You will put yourself back on the right track. But God has been walking with you the whole time. And some of the obstacles I know that I've been put, you know, has been put before me, I love to share with other people, because I think that there's a learning experience there. I have to tell you something, Paul, and I got to tell you this because my kids would kill me for not saying it. I grew up in a very, like a Catholic home, and my kids went on to Catholic school since pre-K all the way up to high school. They're very faithful. I will tell you, though, that how I actually got to read your book was that the Catholic high school actually has all of their students read your book, and they love
the
way
so great.
It is. They have opened up the world on how they visit and see God in their lives, and I think that was just unbelievably amazing.
Wow, that's very prolific.
And I love that nobody saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. I mean, like I said, 15 copies did everything I wanted it to do. Yeah. And, you know, because I'm trying to say to my kids, look, I don't want you growing up with the God that I grew up with, you know. That God was not the God that I've come to know. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Well, you are listening to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lori Ann Kasdia. We are here with William Paul Young, the author of the top-selling book, The Shack, and Gary Joseph from Beyond the Spirits. We will be right back. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lori Ann. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas on topics you'd like to hear more about, please email us on healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on social media at Healthy Lifestyle with LA. If you want to hear more of these shows and other shows, you can always follow us on SoundCloud at Healthy Lifestyle with LA. So we are back with our good friends. I get to call you guys that. with Paul Young, the author of the best-selling book, The Shack. And he also wrote Crossroads and Eve, and our favorite friend who comes with us every month, which is Gary Joseph, Beyond the Spirits, my two favorite men of all times, I'm telling you. So in the break, you were telling Paul, Gary, something about your mom.
Yeah, what I had said to Paul was that I first got to learn about his book because my kids have gone, we're Catholic, so my kids have gone to Catholic school from pre-K all the way up to the high school. And when they got to the high school, my son said, Dad, you got to read this book. It's amazing. And I said to him, yeah, okay, because he knows I read a lot of books. And I said, okay, just put it on the side. If, you know, have you finished it? Because that was his project. And so he said, yeah, I read it. It's the second time I'm reading it now. And I was like, second time? That's so odd for my kids to want to read a book second time. And so I went ahead and I finally were able to read it. And I was stunned by it. It was just the imagination. My mind just goes with it. And right after that, my daughter was 3 years behind my son. She goes ahead, and I had experienced the book already twice. And then my daughter goes ahead, and she says, Dad, you've got to read this book. And I said, what book is it? And she said, it's The Shack. I said, I've read it twice. I want you to read it and tell me what you think. She says, no, I'm halfway through it. I'm almost done with it. And I have to tell you, she pretty much finished that book within 2 days.
Wow.
And that was way about 3 weeks ahead of when she was supposed to have. So I was amazed by that
girls
also.
Girls do that, by the way.
Yeah, I see that.
I had to.
I'm a little bit of a girl then because I love doing that. And I'm okay with that side of me. And then I go ahead and I wanted to have my mom experience it. Now, my mom is going to be 91 in June of this year. And I had told her, Ma, I want you to read this book. It's you know, quite a journey. And you know, I think you would enjoy it. And she said, okay. And she comes from a very close-minded background. Although my mom was a bit of a rebel, she still is. She did come from a close-minded background. And she read it. And when I went downstairs and I said to her, because she lived in an apartment down by me, I said, Mom, what'd you think about that? She goes, you know, I'm still thinking about it. She said, this guy has his stuff right. This is what I always thought it would be like.
Nice.
And I thought about that, and I said, that's my mom, who goes to church every Sunday. And when she's not in church, she loves Joel Osteen, by the way. When she's not in church, she watches Joel Osteen. And so it's like I sit back and I look, and I'm like, look at her. You know, now she has read the book a couple of times, actually, and she has seen the movie, which, by the way, she says the movie was not as good as the book. The old adage, you know?
They never are.
But because in our mind, it was very
great,
good.
Great
I
movie,
loved it. I've seen it a couple of times, actually. Because, matter of fact, over the holiday break that I took, I actually watched it over the holiday break because to me, it just reminds me of the direction of where I'm going. It puts me back to what I should be knowing what my God is like and what I should be giving mm-hmm. towards my community and what I should, you know, look towards for myself. And it just, it makes me look inside my own shack. You know, that's what I really love about it.
Yeah.
And I thank you for that,
well,
by the way.
You're welcome. And give your mom a big hug for me, especially.
I will.
Because my mom would be 91 this July.
Wow.
She passed away on New Year's Eve Day a year ago.
Oh,
and, my condolences.
Yeah, and she was 90. And but, you know, my mom comes from a missionary wife, preacher's wife, modern evangelical.
Wow.
And she heard about the book from her doctor and her hairdresser before she heard about it from anybody in the family. Wow. And she wouldn't even tell them that she was related to me because she hadn't read it yet and she wasn't sure, you know?
Sounds like my mom.
Yeah. So she said she tried to read it and she got to where Papa comes through the door. Mm-hmm. God the Father is a large black African-American woman. And she just shut the book and she picked up the phone and called my sister and said, your brother's a heretic. And she meant it. And if we had the time, I could tell you the story of how she got past that. But
really?
She got past that.
She did?
Before she passed.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she read it and she loved it. I think the last thing she said to me before she died, she was looking at me across the room with this odd look on her face. And I said, what? And she goes, she shakes her head. She goes, you're my son. Who would have thought? And I'm going like, you're exactly right. Who would have thought? You know, this is so beautiful.
That is. That says a lot.
Yeah, my mom represents a lot of people who are now in transition. That is, the ways that they thought and the ways that they kept themselves separated from other people, the ideologies and the kind of doctrines and how they were taught, it didn't work. I mean, it managed some sense of control, but it didn't touch the heart. And my mom wrote me an email about two years ago, and she said it's the only time she's talked to me about the shack. And she said in her email, reading your book was the first time in my life that I actually then started to believe that God loved me.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
In the sense that I'm especially fond of you kind of love. But you know, a lot of my people have a problem with my writing. And when I say my people, I'm talking about modern evangelicals. And in the break, we were talking about the first time I had protesters in Florida.
Oh, you got to tell the story.
It was great. So I get to the venue, I'm talking to like 2,000 people. And outside there's this picket line with bullhorns and people yelling and stuff and signs and things like that. And I didn't think it had anything to do with me. I thought there was an anti-abortion rally or something going on. And I said to the guys, what are they protesting? And the guy laughs. He goes, you. And I said, I've got protesters? Like, how cool is that? My kids are going to love this. And but it was like 100 degrees outside, and these guys are in the sun, and they're working up a sweat. And I walk into the venue, and they had cases of water there. And I said, could we have a couple cases of water? And so my friend Mike and I, we took out cases of water, and we started handing it to the guys that were protesting. And after a little while, one of them turns to me as I'm handing him water, and he says, do you work here? And I go, no. He goes, why are you giving us water? And I said, well, you know, I wrote the book you're mad about. He goes, what? And so they all gather around, all these protesters, and we talk for like 15 minutes. And I come to find out not one of the protesters had actually read the book. And I go like, you guys, you don't have to do this. You can come in. Come on in. Oh, we can't. You know, our pastor sent us down here. And I said, oh, well, you know, just know you're absolutely welcome. And as I'm walking away, they're back on the bullhorn. This violates the principles of God. And this is, stuff, you know, and I'm going like, you are so my people. You know, my people.
Please don't write letters to me. Thank you very much.
They don't know anything about, oh my God. It is, you know, my background, I love my background. It gave me some real strong skills, but it is a, it is a place that I had to do a lot of unlearning from. And but I totally embrace where my people are at, because you know, like Richard Rohr says, you want to transcend but include. And and I have no desire to create new divisions. You know, we've done divisions for centuries, and it just hasn't worked out very well.
Still isn't.
It's time to do something different.
Yeah, yeah. I, someone said to me, it was just last night actually, that we're in the age of elevating this society, and that this generation is here setting the plans to make the next generation elevate more, and so forth and so on. And, you know, our kids are going to look at us and go, stop, because you're wrecking the world. you're wrecking the planet. Just give it to us. We'll take care of it. And you go back and, you know, put your head in the sand again. And I get it, because if you look back, each generation is a little bit better than the next. And it does take a lot of time for us to learn our lessons. I mean, that's what we're here to do. We're here to learn. And if we look at every experience we're going through and look at it as learning, as opposed to from our ego, look at from the observer and find out what we're supposed to learn, I think we go and learn a lot quicker if we're looking for the lesson, as opposed to just letting life happen to us. And I think through serving, I have found that I get out of my own head, and I get out of what I think are problems comparative to other people. There's always somebody going through something far worse than anything that's been thrown at me. So I'm incredibly blessed. And I think if a lot of people thought that way, life would be a lot simpler. It'll be challenging because we're supposed to learn. So things are going to be thrown at us that we don't necessarily have the tools for yet. But that's why we're supposed to learn, to grasp those tools. So everything that's happened to me in my past, I truly appreciate, and I have gratitude for all of those people in my life and for everything that's ever happened, because it's made me who I am today. And I'm really happy where I am.
Yeah, I have to tell you something, Paul. I was just listening to what Lori-Ann was saying. And that is true, because when you were saying, you know, those were my people, I'm saying to myself, well, you are actually been led, you led yourself from that and evolved from it. And to me, that actually encompasses where you were. And that was the only way you could have gotten to where you are, which has now expanded beyond just your 15 copies or whatever you got.
Sure.
And now you're looking at, you know, millions and millions of people being able to hear and listen to exactly what your thoughts were on this entire evolvement. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, that allowed that transition to happen. Mm-hmm. And it gives them, you know, our transitioning is a choice. We can choose to stay stuck, or we can choose to move. And we can choose to move forward, or we can choose to stay in the past. But, you know, that forward motion is elevated and happens because of people like you and people like you, Gary, who really have us really looking in the right direction and being in the now and experiencing the now. The last show you and I did, Gary, we were talking about what?
The last show we were talking about a lot of things.
Yeah, this is true. But specifically, you know, you brought out the present.
Yes. You need to live within your present. Because I've always told my clients that, you know, and this came from my own grandmother. She would tell us in Italian, of course, but she would say it that, you know, what has occurred, because I'd always look at her. She was just such a peaceful woman, and she had been through a lot. She had lost her husband, you know, when my mom was 12. She had 6 kids, didn't speak the language, you know, had to go out and work in sweatshops, and pretty much lost everything. And yet she still hunkered together with everyone, dictated where everybody had to go and do, and then still managed to get her family across. But she did tell me, she said, what has occurred is what is done. And what has not happened, don't waste your time on. Because, she said, if you waste your time today and spend it on either of those two, then you have not truly got the blessings of what God wanted you to have, which is your moment. And every moment counts.
Yep.
God, that's so wise. You know, here I am. I write a story, 15 copies, do everything. Then this crazy thing happens and it blows up, and then it becomes an international thing. Croatia, as a country, adopted it as their book of the decade, and the Ministry of Culture asked me to come speak to the country. You know,
beautiful.
And they've had huge losses and everything else. So I'm in the middle of Zagreb. They have an open forum. So I'm at a table with like 5 PhDs, and and the place is packed out with residents of the capital city. And we start a conversation. We talk for about an hour, and then they open it up to the community. And there was an elderly gentleman just sitting in the front row off to the right-hand side, very distinguished looking. And when he put his hand up, everybody else put theirs down.
Wow.
So you knew that there was something about this man that everybody else knew, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And he says, we are a country of revolutionaries. We have had centuries of revolution. And he said, I've read everything that you've written, and I consider you to be a revolutionary. Do you consider yourself to be a revolutionary? That was his question. Mm. And nobody's ever asked me that in my life, you know?
Interesting.
And it's one of those moments where out of your mouth comes something that you've never thought of, so you know that you're in the flow of this relationship with God. And I looked at him and I said, no, I don't consider myself a revolutionary. I consider myself a child, and children are by nature revolutionaries. And he went, yes, and he stood up and raised his hands, and the whole place just erupted.
Wow. And
it was just one of those things where it's like, all right, we're back to being the child, you know?
Yeah.
And when I said that it took me 50 years to become a child, part of that had to do with sexual abuse that happened in my life as before I was five, and in the tribal culture, and then in boarding school, and I'd lost my experience of being a child. And children know how to trust by nature until someone teaches them that it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And so it took me all of 50 years to become a child again, and to be in that environment, and to be in a world where there was so much loss and pain, and it's the voice of the child that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And yet you recaptured that, and you found it again. That's beautiful. It's glorious, because you know the saying, through the eyes of the child, and that's exactly what it means. They just look at something with pure appreciation and gratitude, because they don't know anything different until, like you had said, we are taught differently. And that's why we're all struggling, and we're all trying to find that person again that we came into the world as. And Gary, you say it all the time about we come complete. Our package is complete. We're, you know, right from the factory. We have everything
we
need.
Exactly.
So.
And you have to redefine your own child like you did for you. You redefined who your child was for you. And I know every one of us look to struggle to do that again. And it's a journey. It's not a moment. It's not what was once. It is actually a journey that continues on. So the more you do it, the more you are going to completely redefine who that child is, and the purity comes back. And we eventually, hopefully, at the end of our lives here, which I always call is not a death, it's just a transition, because we're eternal.
Yeah.
So at the end of that moment in this part of our life, our child reemerges pure and completely in order. And that's what makes us perfected. And that's how I look at our time to go over, means that that's what we're getting ready to do.
That's beautiful.
And I think there's one other component to that, is that the child that we are becoming transcends but includes the experiences that we've experienced.
Absolutely.
So the losses, for example, are not, they just don't disappear. There are still nail scars. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but those losses are then woven into the person that we are becoming. So they're not lost. They are glorified in that sense. Even the things that were perpetrated on us, as crazy as it sounds, it doesn't justify them.
No,
because nothing justifies evil. Nothing justifies the abuse of a child. So they're not justifiable, but I think the redeeming genius of God is that God is able to weave those losses into our lives so that they become icons and monuments of grace. They become something that transcends what was perpetrated, and become markers for things that are true and right and good and just and beautiful.
And turn into beauty, because I remember that from the book, and then also from the movie, all the things that had occurred and how beautiful
the garden was and how beautiful everything actually turned out to be was not something that we even realized. We didn't realize that all the things we were putting together, we were actually making into a beautiful, beautiful place.
So
yeah. Out of ashes, beauty, right?
That's
out
right.
Out of ashes, beauty, that's yeah. Right. Phoenix. I could talk to you both for hours, and I would love to do this again, hopefully, in the very near future, if that's good with you, Paul. And Gary.
Good with me.
That
good
would
with
be
me
awesome.
Too.
Thank you so much. You're both inspiring. I am so grateful to have both of you on and the kindness that I feel. And it's just amazing from both of you. So thank you so much for joining us today here on Healthy Lifestyle. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much, Paul, for calling in and being a little bit of a surprise. Good surprise?
I have to tell you, this was one of my biggest ways to start my new year. This was grand. Nothing's going to beat this one.
We like to kick it off, right?
Two-way street, brother. Thank you for the honor.
Thank you.
The kindness of the invitation, you bet.
Oh, you guys are great.
Much love to you both.
Oh,
same here.
Love to you, Paul. Love to you. Thank you all for joining us today on Healthy Lifestyle. My heart is always lifted by sharing this time with you. Please take some time and do a little something for yourself every day. It starts there. Create new habits. Create the new balance. And thank you for joining us on Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lori Ann Kasdia. Until next time, show up for you. And show up big.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.